I'm Justin, and who are you people? Oh, just wait. This is the Classic Cult TV Club, is that right?
That was, as the kids would say, cringe.
It's been a fair while.
It has been a fair while.
So we're here with Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
A glass of chilled water will calm you more than most other liquids. A cup of warm water will calm you even more.
Lisa? Cassandra?
I haven't come up with anything clever for this bit.
Jeanette?
Hi.
And I'm Justin. And this is the Classic Cult TV Club, and we're here to watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. Tonight we're watching Black Books. Which episode are we watching?
The first.
The first episode. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we're going to kick off straight off with the first episode.
Is the Book of Calm a giveaway for which episode we're going
to
do?
Yeah. It probably was, yes. Yeah.
Keep a sprig of lavender under your pillow.
Place the palm of a hand on each side of your face, from your lips to your eyes, allowing room for your nose, and apply light pressure until you feel...
I thought you were going to say, apply your palm to your forehead and close your eyes gently.
Or apply your palms so it covers your mouth and your nose until you suffocate.
That will make you feel very calm.
Baylor, where are you reading this from, by the way?
I'm reading it from Paul Wilson's The Little Book of Calm.
Oh, yes. Well, where's that, though?
Page 27.
There's no page number. You just kind of like open it up, James.
You have to be calm.
You haven't swallowed it then. All right.
No. Honestly, I'm not going to make that joke actually on this podcast. It's a bit too large to swallow. I made it anyway. It's the size of your palm.
Massive.
So, who hasn't watched Black Books?
Presumably Mackenzie.
Yes, she's not here. I left her at home for this one. Considering her only comment on Blackadder was frowny face emoji, I figured she'd be best sitting this one out.
Yeah. Maybe so you should add 3 drops of patchouli or chamomile oils to your pillow every few nights for a blissful, calm sleep.
Okay, so.
Sorry. If I was going to make Mackenzie enjoy it,
I just have a very juicy aerosol spray of lavender and it just like spray it in my face and I pass out.
So,
Angus. That's chloroform.
No, chloroform. It's cheaper than chloroform and it smells better.
Sorry.
Angus, what is Black Books about?
And he's not going to ask you because we're already sick of you.
What?
You're going to have to edit so much of this. Oh my God.
Who are you people again?
Hello and welcome back to the Classic.
Welcome back to the Classic Cult TV Club.
Okay.
The sign says no phones.
Sign says stay away, fools, because love rules at the Love Shack.
That's a Black Books reference I don't get.
Because the chalkboard, it says none of this, none of that, and no phones.
I don't know what chalkboard.
In the shop.
Yeah. Oh, only in like some episodes.
In the first one, when he introduces it, he's like, none of this, all that. And no phones!
That's the second episode.
Well,
That's the thing. The message changes.
Angus, tell us about Black Books.
So, Black Books is a comedy TV series featuring a bunch of random actors.
Dylan Moran, Tamsin Grieg, and Bill Bailey.
Yep, there you go. And, one of them, Bernard, is the character name, runs a bookshop, and the others are kind of his friends, although he's a rude and rather unpleasant individual, and I feel like most of the narrative elements that come up in the show are kind of his fault. And it's very much a comedy of errors. It's a very character-driven show.
It is very character-driven, yes.
And everything stems from his misanthropic tendencies.
Yeah. I was going to say his overindulgence in alcohol.
Alcoholism.
Yeah, it basically just runs on alcohol and cigarettes. And mostly wine.
Anger.
Yeah.
So hatred. It ran from 2000 to 2004 and had Dylan Moran as Bernard Black and Bill Bailey as Manny and Tamsin Grieg as Fran.
They were the three main
characters.
Tamsin showed up in quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah. She's right.
Yeah.
But What's the name of the guy that plays Bernard again?
Dylan Moran.
Dylan Moran is an amazing comedian.
Yeah, he's a stand-up.
Yeah, he's absolutely
Bill Bailey does
hilarious.
Too.
Yeah, well, he's more of a musician.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a musical comedy, but...
Still stand-up.
Yeah,
it definitely stands up. He won Strictly Ballroom a few years ago.
Oh, did he? Oh.
Yes, yeah, okay. He was a star of Strictly Ballroom.
Nice.
He did really well. Everyone loved him. He's very dedicated to whatever he does.
Yeah. He's a good laugh.
So there's been no real follow-ups to it. This is one of those things where they really did stick to the three seasons. And
it was three, was it? Yeah. I thought it was only two.
No, it was three. I mean, they could have done more, but I guess... Yeah.
It was really just a handful of episodes.
Short, sharp and simple. They're really good.
That's what they do.
Get into the joke, get out.
And it's just never left us, really. I mean, that's one of those things where we...
It is.
I guess we watch it over and over again. I don't know...
I haven't watched it in a while, but I would happily watch it if given the opportunity.
I would wager that a lot of people have actually watched Black Books, because a lot of my friends' group I know have.
It's very much a cult classic.
Yeah.
I got into it late, and I watched it and kind of went, oh, I don't know. I don't know whether this is for me. And then I finished it, and then I rewatched it again.
And I went, okay.
That's funny, because I'm usually fairly slow to pick up on comedies. I mean, it takes me a while to get into it. But this wasn't one like that, I don't think. I think right from
the first episode was so good. The first one we watched was the one with the wine. With the...
Yes, the wine.
Oh, the one, and they try and recreate it.
And the end, when he picks up the paper and says, "Oh my god, oh my god," and he holds it out, and it's like Pope died because of poisoned wine or something. He says, "It's my birthday."
I was told that it was like really smart humor sort of thing. Mm. So I was like, oh yeah, this is amazing. But I think I did the same thing you did. Watched it again and went, yeah, this is actually quite good. Yeah.
It was a bit of a slower burn than I expected.
Mm.
It took the second go round to really appreciate it, I think.
I think with comedy, it gets better as you get familiarity and a connection to the characters.
Yes.
And the more you connect to the characters, and they become like people you know.
So it's funnier.
Well, it's also better because they're people you know that you didn't actually have to interact with directly.
That's right. You wouldn't want to interact with
them. I think that was the thing originally. I found the characters quite repellent on this show. And I think English comedy does that really well.
Yeah. I interpreted more as Bernard being repellent, but specifically the kind of comedy protagonist repellent of, this is a horrible person that it is fun to watch.
I don't find him endearing, though, at all.
Yeah, no.
I think it's not even an anti-hero, because I just don't want him to win.
Yeah, but
it's... You don't want nice things to happen to him.
Yeah.
But it's funny when they don't.
Yeah.
But I feel like the big thing with comedy is you getting those, understanding the context for certain things. Mm. Like the episode where Manny plays the piano for the first time was like, wow, I'm actually really good at this.
It's the
opposite of like a child being beaten constantly to play the piano as perfectly, which wasn't a thing initially until I'd seen or heard of other stories with that kind of thing
in it. The classic of the kid being forced to stay inside and play the piano while the other kids are playing, but he's out in the street by himself kicking the lonely football up and down the street while all the other children are inside playing the piano.
Which I think
is flips that on its head.
And I found that a lot more funny. Weirdly enough, after watching Tim Minchin do his rock and roll nerd song, which was like he sat at a piano trying to make bops and pretending that his girlfriend is dead, even though she's fast asleep in bed, sort of thing. And I just...
He wished he had an angstier life to grow up in middle class white suburbia.
Yeah. And so there's all these other little layers that I feel like add to the hilarity of something that was initially not funny, I guess, to me. But have you watched Black Books before?
Oh, plenty of times.
I think everyone's seen Black Books.
Who picked this episode?
Lisa's only seen two seasons.
Yeah, because this is...
I've watched them all, but it's been a while. I thought there were two seasons. I forgot there were three, so... But I have watched them all. They're all on Stan, I think.
Yeah.
They were on Netflix. I don't know if they still are.
No, I think
maybe. Yeah, because I was going to say, I haven't seen them come up in a while. That's why I've not watched it in a while.
Actually, season three is what, Manny Comes Home...
That's a classic.
Moopa, A Little Flutter, Travel Writer, and Party.
Yes. Every Friday night, we always say, it's Friday night.
We don't.
No.
Justin
and Jeanette say it every night.
Every Friday night. They use the word party as a verb in this house.
We don't use the word party, just it's Friday night.
They like to think they say that every Friday night.
Angus, you were not here every Friday night. Right. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's because I'm too busy saying it with my friends.
I was going to say, you go
and
to D&D.
We're cool. they're not allowed to say.
You're off playing tabletop role-playing games, and I'm here eating like cheese cool with Jocelyn and Jeanette, and they are saying that.
Afraid so.
They're so much fun.
Oh, yes.
Enjoyable people to hang out with.
And you're missing out, Angus.
Just like we were in 1963. Or was it 64?
No, because I didn't have the Jaguar then, so it must have been 62.
I know you're keen to get cracking, but my links to Black Books, well, I watched all of the other actors doing other things before Black Books. Yeah, so Dylan Moran, the first time I listened to him, he was on an interview on a radio show I really like called Get This, which has got a bit of a cult following from a couple of decades back. And they were so excited because they were big comedy fans. They were comedians themselves, loved Black Books. They were so keen. Dylan Moran was not here to be interviewed. He was absolutely adamant. Every time they'd ask him a question, he'd just shut it down. Like, it was really contrary. On the chats and stuff about this radio show, they'd been talking about it for years, going, what did they say to him? Or is he like that in every interview? And then people go, oh my God, Dylan Moran just in an interview and he was friendly. What's going on? Like, it was this big thing. But Tamsin Griggs, first time I ever saw her was on Doctor Who.
Yes.
She was in a really great episode of Doctor Who.
Yes, right.
She was the one who installed the little thing on the guy's head when it opened up. She was the one who talked him into getting that done, and
with
she was
Simon Pegg.
Yes.
Simon Pegg was also in a different Black Books episode as well. He was the bookshop next door.
She was also in a show called Episodes.
Yes, I've heard of it.
I don't know if you've seen that. It's a really clever show. Well, it's about this couple, and they write this TV show, and then it gets picked up in the US, so they move over to the US to make this TV show, and it ends up being completely bastardized and Americanized. It ends up being this couple show to a show set at like a hockey rink or something, and then they get Matt LeBlanc to star in it. The whole life just falls off the rails while they're in LA trying to create this show. But she's absolutely brilliant in that, and she's very similar but quite different in this as well. She's also another character I just can't feel sorry for, and I can't she reminds me a bit of Elaine from Seinfeld, where she just gets up to these hijinks, and it's not like she's being dragged along by anyone. She just makes really poor decisions.
So she's been in several serious roles, Jeanette?
Yeah, she played Frank's mother in a TV adaptation of that.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah. I've seen her in a few serious roles. But
is this Fran?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's in, not Blue Hill, is the British version. It was one of the weird medical shows, and she was a nurse in it. I remember watching it one day going, okay, whatever, and then I watched it another day, and there she was. I didn't recognise who she was until after Black Books.
Yeah. I couldn't really imagine her in a serious role.
Yeah, no, really odd.
She was in Jane Austen's Emma.
Wow. Okay. She'd have the chops. She'd have the ability, but I just couldn't imagine her.
I think the funniest one is Martin Freeman. I fell in love with him as the Doctor in Black Books.
Oh, okay. Not the Doctor. Oh, yes, of course, he's in the episode we're about to watch. I remember now.
I was like, damn, that man is very cute. And then I got really excited that he was in The Hobbit. But I loved him in The Office as well.
She was also Dr. Carolyn Todd in Green Wing.
That's a weird comedy.
I've not heard that one.
That's a strange one. I think that
I've
might
never
be.
Heard of it either,
was that before but Black Books?
Yes, I think so.
It's like this black comedy set in a hospital. It doesn't have a running storyline. It's all these different little segments.
Almost like a sketch show sort of vibe?
Sketch show. It's a little bit like a sketch show in a hospital, but it's really
odd. Oh, no, it was afterwards, actually.
It's a really odd show. And it had the lady who played Missy in it as well, and a few other.
Right.
You'd watch it and you'd recognise a lot of different actors from it. But it used to be on really late at night on ABC 2, and it was strange.
He's in Going Postal.
Yes, he's in Going Postal.
Yeah, the characters from The Truth that had a cameo in new book.
Crips Lot.
Yeah, no, it's just a book where they accidentally create a newspaper in Ankh-Morpork.
Yes.
And have a cameo in Going Postal. Not Going Postal. Yeah, Going Postal.
Okay. Right. I haven't got that far yet in the series.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we'll get on and watch the episode then. Cooking the Books, episode one. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you after the break.
Pew, pew, pew.
That was Black Books. What did people think? Angus, what do you think?
Black Books is always funny. It's a classic.
I've forgotten half of those jokes. I knew roughly the plot of the episode, but I forgot like half of the jokes. That's how dense the humour is in this show.
It is so dense.
What do you think, Janelle?
It's so quotable. Everyone was laughing, even though we've all seen it before.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone was
laughing. Bill, how did you feel about it?
It hasn't changed.
It was good. It continues to be good.
Yeah. And Lisa?
It was good. It's good. It's funny. Like, there was bits that I laughed at, but I don't know. I get really angry at the characters. Oh, my God. I don't know. It's like I get to the end of it and I'm like, I laughed. Therefore, I must have enjoyed it, but I'm still... I don't know, they make me angry.
Is that like Fawlty Towers? I mean, I find Fawlty Towers really cringy.
I can't do Fawlty Towers.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same, but this doesn't affect me the same way. So that's interesting. Yeah.
And I have a real issue with embarrassment humour. That was embarrassment humour, but the things like the UK office, meet the parents and things like that, I kind of get really... I don't want to be embarrassed.
I barely got through one episode of The Office.
You improvised with the main character too much.
It was really difficult watching The Office, because that secondhand embarrassment thing.
I really struggle with that. Those Ben Stiller movies, like the parents. I remember seeing them in the movies when it came out and I went, I can't, no. I didn't enjoy it. I felt really anxious. And it's not that to an extent, but I just don't gel with the characters.
Do you find guilty about enjoying the show because of how vile the characters are?
I think so. I think that's what it is. I walk away and I go, well, I laughed. It was funny, but I didn't enjoy it.
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
That is strange.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because you've known too many people like that as well. That may be another aspect, but I think it goes against my...
I go the other end where I'm a people pleaser to a fault. And I think that's... Yeah, so someone who's just that... openly not Manny, but Fran is just as much, you know. Some of the things she does and you just go, you're not a nice person.
No, she's very toxic.
I know, she makes use of Manny too.
And Manny's, he's pretty much a punching bag through the whole show.
And
I find that really difficult.
In several episodes, he's just resorted to being a child.
I think it makes it harder when they introduce the characters, and I think they do a really good job of introducing the characters in the first episode. But he's a smart man. Yes. He's a smart man with a lot of pressure in his job and then has to kind of step back and go, no, I need something that's a little bit more relaxing, but it's actually more toxic.
He's like a glutton for punishment. And he kind of gets Stockholm Syndrome almost.
I don't know. I think it's kind of indicative because I've stepped away from a stressful, toxic workplace and I now feel a bit more childlike in a sense. Normally, I'd be able to stay up for 4 days straight and balance like four jobs and, you know, like go through the ringer, eat very little. I could deal with it. I ran a lot better on stress. Whereas now I'm like stressed. I want to cry.
Yeah.
The moment that something gets too much, I feel very innocent and childlike. And so I actually think Manny's written quite well for someone that has been through such a stressful work environment to go somewhere else and go, well, it's not this, so this is better sort of thing. And so, it's very Stockholm Syndrome in the sense that he has been saved or imprisoned, really, by another monster.
And it's like, to him, it's probably, well, at least I'm not in that position anymore. I'm not in that prison, I'm in this prison.
And he's got books.
And he hates his boss in both scenarios. That's the thing. He just likes the work a lot more.
Yes.
He likes, I think, a little bit of the social aspect, because he's also drinking wine with them as they relax sort of thing. He's a little bit of the punching bag, but he's also kind of...
There's times when they're all friends.
Yes, that's the thing.
Having fun together. It's that honey trap where he's occasionally the punching bag and abused by them, but other times he's their friend.
They become like enmeshed, don't they?
Yeah.
I genuinely find it really hard to watch Manny.
Sometimes, because
he doesn't deserve the pain that he gets.
Yes, he doesn't ever deserve.
He gets himself in just as much trouble when he leaves the, you know,
with Goliath Books.
Goliath Books and the modeling industry, he runs away.
Just a genuinely nice, kind person, and he gets taken,
advantage of time after time again.
Yeah. I think a good mirror would be like SpongeBob and Squidward.
Yep.
Well, you see yourself as SpongeBob as a child, and then you become Squidward in the end. I feel like you either live your life as Manny,
or you become Squidward.
Bernard.
Yeah.
And you become that ruthless butthead. But, I mean, in reality, he's doing what he wants. Mm. He is happy with where he's at.
Yeah.
And he's comfortable not giving an inch to anyone and, like, running a shop at his own times when he feels like it.
That's it. Yeah.
Being able to take time out for himself. Changing his shop into a restaurant because he feels like it. Like, in all seriousness, it's so dumb, but he is living his best life.
And then it's part of it. Like, it did feel cathartic when he was just like, right, everyone out. And they're like, you can't chuck us out. I own the place. Everyone get out.
Exactly.
Early. Yeah. Bye. You know, it's like, God, I wish I could do that.
Like that arrogant man at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, so you're really on Bernard's side there.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to see him standing up to the arrogant guy.
Yeah.
And,
you
know. £1,000. Sorry, I need £1,000 to go with my wallet. Piss off.
Like, he takes it too far, but that's definitely where we should all be aiming for in our life, is being able to set boundaries and deadlines and not need to give excuses.
I know you got this down.
Boundaries.
If work calls you on the weekend, you hang up and say, no, sorry, this is my weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to just make that break.
So how many times do you think you've watched this first episode?
So I started watching it with my parents. They showed it to me when I was probably about Mackenzie's age. It was just on the TV because we had one TV in the family room.
And so everyone was
anything
TV.
Was on the TV, everyone was watching it on the TV. I grew up with it. I grew up enjoying it. I actually found it funny, unlike some of the other comedy shows that they put on at the time. There was a lot of TV that I wasn't a fan of, that, you know, well-respected things.
Yeah, like the Goodies, you know.
No, the Goodies, I was fine with.
I'm trying to think, what were some of the things of that era that you...
Yeah, because, like, late 90s, early noughties were kind of stuff.
I can't remember.
Like Seven, Babylon Five.
Seven was a little bit drier, but I think I did enjoy it. Babylon Five, I enjoyed. I like the space.
You're talking comedy wise.
What other comedies we watched?
Oh no, it wasn't comedy. Well, it kind of is. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I do not
like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy still. I have problems with it. Just because I've got such a negative view of it that I've kept from childhood.
When I watch it,
I do enjoy it. I don't hate it. But
I've got
like,
certain things like that. I get that. Yeah.
It's just, I was watching it when I was a kid, and it's clever humour. It's not dumb kids' humour, so it wasn't. But this was...
I was
definitely palatable to a 7-8 year old. So,
I was probably Mackenzie's age when Dad sat me down and got me to watch Doctor Strangelove. Yes, and he's like, "This show is so funny. It's a black comedy. You have watched and explained a black comedy to me." And we watched Doctor Strangelove, and it finished. I wouldn't have been any more than about 11, I reckon. It was around that age bracket.
Yeah.
And then it finished, and he was like, "So how did you find it?" And I just bawled my eyes out when he told me this was a comedy. Like, I was just this day, I think I watched it again when I was in my late teens. It did make me cry the second time, but I was just like, this got ruined for me.
That's like Baylor turning to their friends going, "Oh, we should do it. Studio Ghibli movie night. We'll watch some really nice, friendly Studio Ghibli movies together. We'll start with Grave of the Fireflies." It's a classic.
And then
running with that, with the friends having no idea.
And then one of them actually looked up the synopsis of it and went, "Yeah, no thanks."
Yeah.
It is a very traumatising and sad movie.
It's depressing. Studio
Ghibli's... It's beautiful.
It's beautiful, but...
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah, I've seen it, I've descriptions of it, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'd rather not for the moment.
It's definitely, like, worth a one-off watch when you're feeling really sad and you need to cry. You know those moments when you really just need to cry? It is the movie to watch. It is beautiful.
But watch it in 20-minute intervals. Like, really pace yourself out with it, because you need the time. Yeah.
No, no, because it'll sit in the back of your head. You might as well just watch it in one hit and then move on with your life.
I was about 11, maybe. No, it would have been more like 13 when we got that movie and went to watch it. And the first, like, 3 minutes, it starts in a train station in Japan, and there's just people dying in the train station because of the immense poverty throughout the country at the time, and the famines and stuff. And Jeanette's like, maybe this isn't a show for right now. Let's watch this one right now.
We didn't get out of the train station.
No.
And I haven't watched it since either.
I don't entirely remember, but I think I did the same sort of trick to Jazz.
Yeah.
Or I told her not to watch it. It was one or the other.
Yeah.
But a couple of years later, I went to a supermarket in Chinatown and found there's a little tin of lollies that is in the film that
it's
is
very
referred
iconic.
To. It is so iconic. I was like, wow, this looks like that tin of lollies. So I got it for my sister. And I would offer her one and she's like, oh. And I am so sorry because I was such a bad person.
Bit off topic. So I've watched it multiple times.
So Bell, have you watched it before?
How many times?
I've tried working it out number wise, but I think I probably didn't watch it for a year or two. Then I've watched it at least every year, maybe every second year. Mm-hmm. So from about the age of 16, I think, is when I watched it, 15, 16, to I'm now 30, 31. So that many times.
Yep.
Possibly more. I cannot remember.
Yeah. We watched it several times on Netflix together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So together, more so than
a lot.
16 times, apparently.
You know, you've watched it lots when you start laughing before the joke.
Or you can just speak the entire thing.
Yeah. I'm not there yet, obviously.
So, Lisa, have you seen it that many?
No, I reckon I've watched it twice when it was on Netflix, but then on ABC 2. Do they do the comedy nights anymore on ABC?
I don't think
so. When the kids' programming finishes,
we used to always free to air TV.
You'd have the kids' shows, then you'd have Spicks and Specks, and then it would go into comedy for the rest of the night. And when I used to travel a lot for work, because I didn't have a Fire Stick or anything where I could watch wherever I wanted, it would be that I would fall asleep watching ABC 2. And there was usually at least one or two episodes of Black Books that would come on. The particular episode we watched, I reckon I've seen about four times. Five now.
Yeah.
But then there's other episodes I've probably only just watched the twice. And
Cass?
Yeah, I watched it when it first aired on ABC back in the day. And then a couple of times since, but I haven't watched it in like a decade, I think. Just because I haven't really felt like, oh, I've seen this before, I don't need to watch it again. And I need a few new stuff. Because
so how much did you remember of that episode?
Like, roughly half. I forgot that, oh, this is the episode where Bernard is procrastinating doing his taxes, and it has the bits of him eating drinks with the...
Once you saw part of the three,
I got the rest of it. But there's some jokes in there. It's like, oh, this is the bit with this. Okay. I remember the jokes, but I didn't necessarily remember, oh, this is the episode they go with.
And I love that he knows more about the Bible than they do.
Yeah.
I guess rewatchability is pretty high then.
Yeah.
Add it all up.
Yeah, it's just...
It's not a comfort show. I don't find it a comfort show.
I feel like we've...
Why it's not
comfort.
I don't explain
why. I feel like we've put it on in the background as we've gone to sleep.
I've got plenty of shows where that's the case for me, but this would not be one of those shows.
I would go back and rewatch things like Star Trek constantly. Black Books is definitely one of them to break it up, just for things in the background.
I have certain shows like that, definitely.
Yeah.
But and, how much do I need to drink and smoke?
Justin gave up smoking last year.
Yeah.
I've never smoked, actually. Really.
Yeah.
I find the man with a smoke machine.
The machine bought it for him.
The machine does it for me.
Yeah. Nowadays, when he smokes, he does it like Morticia from...
I find the comfort show really interesting, though. Like, there's certain shows you'll watch them as you go to sleep, or you'll watch them because even though you've watched it many times before, it's not necessarily that you want to watch it, it's you want to feel the way that you feel when you watch it. It gives you a certain feeling inside and it puts you in a certain headspace.
This is not that show though. Daria is that one show for me, and that is just because I remember watching it with Jazz all the time. So
And there's certain things that I'll watch and I'll go back and rewatch and rewatch and rewatch until I know it inside out. And I'm trying to, so new on Netflix at the moment is one of those shows for me. It was a show called Psych.
I've heard of it.
Love Psych. Yeah. And I've watched it over and over and over again, and now it's on Netflix. So I'm trying to introduce Mackenzie to it and go, oh, should we put Psych on tonight while we're eating dinner? She's like, can we just put Good Place on again? She's up to her third time watching it. I said, that's just your comfort show, isn't it? She's going, I'm just so happy when I watch it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get it. You know? And I think certain things for certain people have that kind of impact.
I have this one movie in particular that is my go-to comfort. It is a very unknown D&D movie. So good. I used to watch it on repeat. One year, Justin got us for Christmas MP4 player watches. So they had a little screen on them. And this is 2007, 2008.
Oh, I love it.
And we could put movies on them and watch the movies. And I had that
probably
on my watch.
Probably a 30-second clip, though.
Yeah. No. The full movie.
Oh, yes.
So they had, like, a little audio cable that I'd run up the sleeve of my school shirt to my ear. I'd have it run across my shoulder and down the other arm. So I'd sit there with on my right arm with this earpod sitting in my ear watching it in class. It was great, and the movie is amazing.
So what's it called?
It's really good.
The Gamers Darkness Rising.
Yeah.
it was the second so film good. We watched together when we became a couple.
And I can quote that movie in its entirety with sound effects.
Of course, yeah.
So do we think the Black Books holds up?
Yes, that's the question. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it does, I mean, there's nothing there that ages it directly. You know, it's not like the phones particularly age it or anything like that.
I would like to see, I think the procrastination side of things, so many people would be able to vibe with that, especially. Absolutely. Yeah.
I wonder if skinheads still exist.
They just wearing suits and calling themselves the Proud Boys.
Generally, drunk dudes outside pubs that want a bit of biff, I'm sure that's timeless. So.
I was just thinking, Australia definitely had a similar version of Black Books, I realised, because I was trying to weigh it all up. But I think Leno and Woodley come very similar to Black Books, because they're not misanthropic, though, aren't they? Colin is very angry as a person and treats Frank really, really poorly. It's the straight man. It's that kind of relationship. They also have a laugh track. So, you know, that's great.
But that kind of dynamic's as old as time itself. It's say you have a Costello and Laurel and Hardy.
But I feel like that hits better than...
That was live audience.
Yeah, I know. So is Leno and Woodley.
Oh, you saw a laugh track.
They only used a laugh track once.
So then you lied. Okay.
It's what I do.
Yeah, so what about audience? I mean, in terms of age group and things like that. I guess there's sort of a period where it's going to be too old for some kids.
I honestly am surprised, out of all the shows Lisa has shown Mackenzie, that Black Books isn't amongst them. Because South Park was like 2 years ago.
Oh, that was because she was grabbing stuff. I think she went through her head that if it's animated, it's for kids. Oh, and we have to go, no, it's not.
At least be glad it wasn't Harry Tree Friends.
I did show her a Happy Tree Friends.
Actually, I've got to say,
I showed her one of those little snippets and I went, this is why we're not showing you this. And she went, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like I went, we're going to sit down and watch the whole series.
I don't feel like there's a specific age group that this would be targeted as, but I feel like as generations progress forward and hit their late teens, early 20s sort of area, I would say that they would feel that. Yes, 100%.
Well, this particular episode, I don't think there's anything that would stop her from watching it, but whether she would connect with it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's just, there's certain shows and I'm going, oh, she'd really like that. I'm like, no, she wouldn't, because it would just be, it would run too slow or it'd just be too serious.
So much of this is drinking jokes.
Yeah.
Things like
or
that.
Like just life as an adult.
Where you're sitting there drinking and puffing out a cigarette and going, I'm in heaven.
There's a certain age you have to reach before you can really appreciate the world weariness that they kind of go through. You know, I feel like I had to be older than they were when they filmed it before I could kind of, you know, get
it. I don't feel like Gen Z or any other generation like that would not enjoy this, especially if they were in the age bracket.
Oh, absolutely.
It's got a very similar feel because same showrunner, but to IT Crowd.
Yeah.
I feel like that also still stands
quite apart from the fat adrenaline.
Yeah, we were discussing that earlier, weren't we?
Yeah.
The showrunner's a bit problematic now.
No, it's just nice.
Yeah,
but still quite a good show.
Definitely makes me want to own a bookshop or like a tea shop.
That's part of the appeal is the fact that it's a bookshop.
It feels cozy.
It does.
Yeah.
Such a nice little bookshop.
And I think that's the juxtaposition, isn't it? It looks lovely and cozy, like you take your time.
Yeah.
And people will go in there trying to do that, and then they come across the owner who is not here for you to sit and browse.
Yeah. And everything's a bit manic.
Yes.
Everything's quite manic.
Which is quite opposite to IT Crowd, because that's the three of them working really, really well together as friends in a very hostile, uncozy environment.
Where they're all different, but they still work together. There's no antagonism.
No, they're really supportive of each other.
For the most part, yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. I think Roy is a little bit antagonistic every now and again.
Yeah.
But not much, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And then with Lena and Woodley, where they fail every single job they're in constantly because one messes up and then blames the other.
I mean, they're basically the goodies, if anything. Actually.
Yeah.
I would say that they're the mix between the two, though, quite honestly.
Lena and Woodley, it's Australian version of the goodies, really.
Because even in the goodies, everyone's at each other's throats, depending on the episode.
Yeah. And I still feel like, for me, the vibe is very similar between Lena and Woodley and Black Books as opposed to the goodies, because the goodies has got so much range behind it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to sit down and go, yeah, I'm going to watch the goodies, but I'll happily sit down and watch Lena and Woodley and Black Books because they're shorter. Look, I don't want to sit down and watch every single episode of the goodies. Like,
no, you might pick
there's
a few
lot
episodes.
Of the goodies.
Yeah, and it's hit and miss. It's not all.
Yeah.
Whereas they're all bangers in Black Books, and they're all bangers in Lena and Woodley, and they're kind of appealing to areas of real life, sort of thing, that kind of hits.
The goodies is very fantastical.
Yes, you do get elements of fantasy in Black Books, like, you know, the creatures that live in the teapot or whatever.
Yeah.
Or when Bernard is sick and he's wrapped in a blanket and he's
horizontal standing on the wall,
floating.
Or throwing someone to the ground to search for their random ass book of war for 3 days while there's drilling in the background and they haven't gone to the loo, eaten food, just been crawling around everywhere. Or hiding someone in a piano with spoons. Like, I don't know. That feels very Lena and Woodley to me.
Yeah.
A lot of these scenarios feel very similar to that.
Yeah,
like,
no, I can see.
They have very good, thought-out, well-planned slapstick as well, and visual moments.
Maybe I just need to rewatch Lena and Woodley. Maybe that's what I'm hearing.
I think you're going to be.
Yeah.
So anyway, the big question.
The big question, Angus.
Yeah.
How did this
work? How can we relate it to Star Wars?
Food. Drink.
The food. So of course, the food should be the little book of calm.
The food is the little book of calm.
Hot noodles.
I was going to say a large lolly.
Frozen wine.
Frozen red wine.
Frozen red wine, where you break
the bottle on the
and lick.
Yeah.
No, I think the little book of calm being the food is pretty.
It isn't cold baked beans eaten from a shoe with a comb.
No.
In a tower.
No.
Cold baked beans in a tower.
No, it's a tower of soup.
Tower of soup. And it's
with chunks.
it was scrambled eggs in a shoe.
Scrambled eggs, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, so there you go.
Yeah, I remember the line.
You remember more than I do.
And I remember, it was Manny, he made a call, and it's like, this is how dirty the house is, and just holds the phone around.
Yeah.
Either that or sealing toast. It's got to be
one. Oh,
any of these things that you would actually eat, though? They represent black books.
What did I say? The Little Book of Calm?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a big thing.
I think the Little Book of Calm is the right answer. it's literally the only thing that got eaten in the whole episode.
It's something that you kind of, you know, accidentally stumble upon. You hear everyone talk about it and you go, sure, I guess I'll give it a go, not expecting it to be good, and then you accidentally have it lodged in your esophagus and you're randomly quoting it to your friends throughout the day. I actually think it works.
Oh, divorce.
Oh, any more discussion we want
to
have?
Yeah, we need to somehow tie this to Star Wars.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes. Didn't Bill Bailey do one of the voices in Star Wars in one of the movies or something?
Oh, did he?
Oh, did he?
That makes sense.
Play one of the robots in Mandalorian or something like that.
I think he played
like
a robot in one of the movies.
I think he did.
Yeah.
And of course he's been
in Doctor
Who.
Dude, and I don't know Star Wars and I knew that. If I'm right,
Doctor Who. He's been in Doctor Who.
Yeah. Everybody's been there. They've all been in Doctor Who.
He played a robot in Doctor Who.
In the Dinosaurs episode.
No, he did not.
No, it was the Christmas episode.
Oh, that was
Mitchell and Webb. Yeah.
I don't think he has been, has he?
There was a guy called Bill Bailey in Star Wars.
Yes, I did see that. Yeah. But he has appeared in Peg's film Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
As we know.
Nobody tells me nothing.
Simon Pegg has written Star Trek content.
Yes.
And then obviously.
And that's got the word star in it.
In Star Trek, you had Captain Somebody Pike.
Admiral Pike. Yes.
Admiral Pike. That there is a way to join it all together.
Jesus. Is there Kevin Bacon in there somewhere?
Probably. Oh, I can't work it out.
No, well, next time.
Star Wars. So good.
Star Wars.
World building.
Bam. Something Black Books doesn't do. No.
If you needed a reason to drink, you've got your reason to drink.
Yeah.
Just watch Black Books.
Yeah, red wine.
Red wine.
I'm just having a look through the Little Book of Calm, trying to find something profound. One thing it's recommending is that you slow your breathing down. The problem is it's phrasing it in terms of breathe less, which I'd rather you phrase it differently.
There's a phrasing in there that is you need to learn to relax. So you need to tense your muscles as tense as you can and then relax them. And you'll know what it means to be relaxed.
Well, I just like the fact that it just succinctly tries to describe it and it fails. This page is about how exercising is good, but the title of the page is just sweat. Okay.
Or if you're dyslexic, sweet.
Sweet, yes.
Yeah. I did see one in there where it said, success makes people feel more relaxed. Try to feel more successful.
What?
It was in there, and I'm no, I'm not bringing that out.
I've actually found the one with the putting the hands on the face one. It just says, cover your face as though you're ugly or something.
Yes,
not
readers,
sure how that works.
Cover your face.
We should release a secondary book, The Little Book of Absolute Brutality. Cover your face. No. It is ugly.
Oh, it's about the massive... Book of...
The Massive Book of Panic?
Your Massive Book of Panic.
The History of Screaming.
Yeah. And I'm tempted to just make a book like an A0 size book where you just open it, it's just like, ah!
I feel like there's so much problematic stuff in here. Ignore small print. Small print is custom designed to induce frustration. If you want to stay calm, have someone else read out loud the small print for you.
I love that. That's brilliant.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, they've written that down and then said, sign this contract.
Yeah.
Have someone read it out aloud.
Yeah. No, a good way to be calm is to just avoid paying attention to anything in world politics. Mm-hmm. They'll make you calm and uninformed.
Yeah.
Forget the fact that you're poor. And we live in a capitalistic society.
Yes, ignore the several wars occurring at this very instant. Mm. Innocent people are dying. Just pretend it's not happening.
And now don't we all just
so
feel calm?
Yeah. Yes.
And on that note, ignorance is bliss.
I'm starting to pretend to be that singing bowl. We
I much prefer the idea of Justin just going, all right, podcast is over. Everybody get out.
Podcast is done.
So that was the Classic Cult TV Club, and we'll see you next time.
Damn Sean!
Where we watch something that we absolutely hated and try and redeem it.
Yes.
listening to the episodes in reverse order. In that case.
Yes, in the case, we'll see you previous episode. Aha.
Yeah. Now we're getting timey-wimey.
Okay, I'm out of here.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.